It's always a pleasure to have this gentleman on the other end of my line. He is a very straight shooter. His name is Jeff Gural, and in addition to being passionate about harness racing, he also happens to be the owner of Tioga and Vernon Downs. Jeff, welcome once again to Trot Radio.
Thank you.
You really must love this game to take on what is not only a massive, but many would say risky task in restoring Meadowlands to its former luster. Why would you take this on?
I kind of tell people I'm the accidental savior. I really didn't intend to take it on, but as I've said, when I called down to the governor's office, he said they were getting ready to announce that it was closing.
Yeah.
You know, and once he said that, I said, well, could I come and talk to you about it? And that's really how this evolved. So, truthfully, it was not on my agenda.
I'm going to play a little bit of Meet the Press Tim Russert style with you here. In our last interview, this is what you said about the future of harness racing.
And if you ask anyone who wants to tell you the truth, they're going to tell you it's going to die. It's a guarantee it's going to die. Mathematical certainty. It's going to die.
It's going to die. It's a mathematical certainty it's going to die. But what's changed your mind other than the circumstances surrounding the Meadowlands that has prompted you to throw yourself into this project?
You know, that's a good question. I think, first of all, I think everyone agrees that losing the Meadowlands would really be a major blow to the sport. So in my mind, when I said it's going to die, I kind of said, okay, it'll die 10 or 15 years. I'm 68, so it's not going to make too much of a difference. I think if the Meadowlands closes, it could die pretty quickly.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a challenge. I think, you know, if I had some of the ideas I have that could save it, you know, it's one thing to apply them to a track like Tioga where, you know, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere and nobody really pays much attention. But, you know, maybe if I could turn things around at the Meadowlands, you know, some of the other tracks would pay attention and say, hey, you know, maybe we should try some of the stuff that that Jeff is trying. So,
would it mirror what you're doing at Tioga and Vernon in terms of getting the horse players in and then letting them play? Well, there's going to be no slots for them to play. So then it begs the question, what sort of hooks do you plan on putting in?
Well, I think that, you know, it's just the same marketing stuff that I do at Tioga and Vernon. I mean, you know, keep in mind, the Meadowlands does a lot of business, so they have considerable revenue, far more than a normal racetrack, you know, that needs slots, that couldn't possibly operate without. But, you know, the Meadowlands handles a lot of money. They we get 4 OTWs. So, there's, you know, there's some earnings potential there that don't exist at the smaller tracks like Tioga. If I had to rely on just the racing revenue, we'd be in big trouble.
But, yeah.
You know, the Meadowlands is an antiquated facility that's just too big. It was built for a different era when, you know, the crowds were much larger and there was much less competition. So,
that leads me to my next question, because part of the plan, of course, calls for a new grandstand, and I'll take it that this one will be somewhat smaller.
Yeah, much smaller. Just a question of how much smaller. The design we have that I think people saw on the website, I think, was about 125,000 feet, and that may be too big. I'm really studying that a little bit more. But having said that, I think the Meadowlands is 500,000 square feet.
Wow.
Of course, they don't use a lot of it, so I got to try to figure it out. But, yeah, it'll be a much smaller and a modern new facility. And, you know, a lot of the marketing stuff that I've tried at Tioga, I think, might work. Who knows? I have no idea.
Well, you don't know until you try. You're looking for money in the neighborhood of close to, what, $80 million?
I think we're going to need to do the whole thing with the OTWs, probably $100
million. So, $100
million. That's a lot.
Yeah. Who are you going to be approaching, and who is your team going to be approaching? Because, let's face it,
I've approached a lot of people, and believe it or not, there's a lot of interest out there. And at the moment, it's premature because I don't have a pro forma to show anybody, so I'm hopeful that within the next few days I'll have a pro forma, and then once I have a pro forma, then you'll find out if people would be willing to invest.
For those that are not lawyers or unfamiliar with the term, pro forma means?
In other words, a piece of paper that says this is what we anticipate our income can be, and this is what we think it'll cost to operate, and the difference is clear basis. So, you know, once we see if we can get that number up high enough to justify investing $100 million, mm-hmm. literally, you know, people would want to see, you know, I would think, you know, $10 to $15 million cash flow mm-hmm. before they would risk it.
Is that attainable, do you think?
It's possible, obtainable, yeah. The metal does $30 million of business. So, you know, if we could get our costs down and add some of the OTW revenue and mm-hmm. Hopefully get some of the phone betting revenue. And
I know you can't divulge a whole lot about those who have shown interest. What kind of profile do they have without you know, giving us too much? Obviously, casino owners aren't interested. But, you know, what can you tell us in that regard?
Well, I've talked to, you know, people who are in the process of developing these handheld devices that you can bet on things, you know. That's they think that's the future. I've talked to some real estate people, you know, people mainly who are in the industry, people who either own horses or in one way or another are affiliated with the industry.
So serious players.
Yeah, serious players who have an investment in this. I think you know, that if the governor closes the Meadowlands, you know, that would send a bad message to other governors about, you know, whether or not they should continue, you know, to subsidize horse racing.
Well, they seem to be, you know, a number of them seem to be taking their cue from Governor Christie, it would seem, and that could be disastrous. And I think what bothers me more than anything else is that he still is holding over the head of the industry down there the fact that he could, you know, veto the, for example, the $30 million subsidy at some point down the road, or simply tell the Racing Commission, don't spend the money. I mean, the whole thing is just so, seems so underhanded.
Yeah, you know, it clearly there's no way of knowing what he's going to do with that. I have no idea what he's going to do with it, to tell you the truth. Hopefully he'll allow it to be used to supplement the purses, but I couldn't tell you. I certainly am not counting on it, to tell you the truth.
Well, the model you've set forth looks to me as being one that will help harness racing live on its own merit. So I think that, you know, it will make it less dependent on slots, for example, or having a casino in there, and this is with respect to Meadowlands. So who knows, maybe in the long run this could work out just nicely.
Well, hopefully it's a wake-up call for the industry. I know that I proposed, you know, that the horsemen that do have slots take 5% of the slots revenue and use it to market the sport. And get
there you go.
There. To me, that's a no-brainer. But, you know, you have, you know, the horsemen, you know, they have this, you know, the attitude, well, it's not our responsibility, it's the racetrack owner's responsibility. So, you know, you have a chicken and egg, so, you know, that's great. But, you know, the racetrack owner's not going to do it because, frankly, he's better off using that money to market the slots.
Right.
And if he does, he's helping you because you're getting a percentage of the slots revenue. So the truth of the matter is, to a certain extent, the perfect world would be that the racetrack owner spends as much money as he can marketing the slots, and the horsemen use a small percentage of the slots money to market the sport. Without young people getting involved, you know where we're going. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out.
Well, the same battle is going on here. You are probably aware Standardbred Canada proposed taking 1% out of slot revenues to come up with ideas to help market the sport, and the horse people are saying that in its present form, or perhaps there's a lack of a real present form, they're not in favor of it. So, yeah, again, you know, the problems are true on both sides of the border. Jeff Gural, you've always been great with the media here, and we always appreciate you coming on Trot Radio. You're a good friend of this program. Best of luck with your work on the Meadowlands.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to come on anytime, and hopefully we'll get lucky in the next 6 weeks, and we'll have some good news to report at the end of March.
Hopefully we will. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye.